Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. It's so great to be here again this week, and I'm so looking forward to our show. And this is going to be so exciting. You're listening to Realty Universal Radio, and I'm in sunny Hawaii this week. And I know this time of year, these of you out there in different areas who listen in are getting good weather, too. Most of the world, right? There's some places. And so anybody that wants to call in, our call-in number is 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428. And you can email radio@realityuniversal.com. So we typically, as those of you who listen in and download our podcast, et cetera, we typically talk about real estate the first half and self-help the second half or community issue. Today, we're going to actually talk the entire time on Home is Where the Heart Is. We have a wonderful guest who I'm going to introduce in a moment, who is going to give us chock-full advice. I mean, I just don't even think an hour is going to cover it. I'm so excited about this interview, about, you know, home is where the heart is, and it starts within us, right? It's within us. So, and then our surroundings and everything come together. So we probably will not break from any commercials, if any at all, this time. So Mary Blake is our guest today. And home is where the heart is. Journey through life brings us to writings and topics and her journey, which will help with our journeys. Mary Blake's author of Journals of a Healer. There's a second edition in production. She's going to lead us through periods in life that take us through our journey in discovering who we really are and how our home truly is within and why we must live on purpose with true authenticity to really be at home and find peace. Mary's had a long history of healing, starting from the time lightning struck a wall 3 feet from her, activating her healing ability. She has such a long history, which I'll let her get into once we bring her in, and she's in right now waiting once we bring her on. She actually has years in the business world, years in the secular world, and many, many years in the spiritual world. And so she brings us tons of information. She actually studied with the New Seminary, graduated as an ordained minister, also graduated from Blanton Peel Institute for Pastoral Counseling. She's a certified family counselor. She's taught spiritual development for over 9 years. And she's trained in multi-life therapy, unique work with other lifetimes to rewrite history and erase karma. She's really into health, with health and wellness products. I'm not going to say Mary's age, but I think she may tell us once we get into this, and you will be shocked to just hear the vitality and wisdom. Oh, I could just go on and on and on and on. So without further ado, welcome Mary Blake. Hello.
Well, hello, Natalie. My goodness. Now, yeah. Okay, so
that's a mouthful,
how do I live up to that introduction?
I love it. I love it. And there's so much more. So much more.
Well, you know, when you've lived, 85 years?
Wow, okay, I wasn't going to say, thank you.
Well, that's okay. I mean, because it's one of the things that that I think people are so grateful for when they talk with me and they find out my age. I'm giving them something exciting to look forward to. I mean, it's a whole lot better than crawling around on a walker or being tied up to all those wires and tubes and everything. I mean, why should we settle for that when we can take care of ourselves? We can do things that will keep us healthy and alive and interested and enthusiastic about being on this planet.
And you're living proof. So we're here to hear. Oh, you're living proof. You're active. You have vitality and not having the aches and pains and your wisdom is just beyond belief. And I know you're actively involved in helping people heal and grow. So tell us a little bit about how you got started in counseling and going to seminary and just tell us a little bit about about your life, how you, through the chapters of your life, it's brought you to today where it can actually help other people and does help other people.
Well, you know, it's interesting that lightning bolt, when I was 15, it activated the part of my brain that that is involved with the healing. And I spent half a lifetime trying to make it sound like something perfectly normal, that I wasn't doing anything unusual. I just gave great massages, you know, and people just liked to, and people just liked to talk to me. I mean, they would be telling, I'd be sitting next to a stranger and they would be pouring their heart out to me, and then suddenly they would stare at me and say, "Why am I telling you this? My best friend doesn't even know this." And I said, "Well, I don't know, just people like to talk to me. I don't know." You know, it was never anything. It just seemed like normal. I mean, I grew up thinking everybody could tell how you were feeling, and they would understand that you were going through something, and they could feel that you were uncomfortable and where it was hurting or whatever. I thought that was normal, you know, because it was always there, so everybody must have it, right? When you're young, you really don't understand the difference in people and different talents and different personalities and different ways of being in the world.
Not at all. So you kind of denied it. Did you even know where it came from until later, or did you know it?
No, I didn't have any idea. It was the funniest thing how I came to understand it. I was in London where I had gone to a mind body spirit festival and to study in London where spiritual healing. I'd already figured out that I was a spiritual healer, and I had just recently dedicated my life to spiritual healing. Because I was actually cured by the first healers I ever met in my whole life.
Really?
And I had a cancer scare, and I was coughing. I'd take a deep breath and coughing for an hour and a half and cough up blood. And I was
oh
a
God.
Doctor. Doctor took an X-ray and said, you know, this girl has a lesion on her lung. And I lost my job because I was out sick so much. And
how old were you, if you don't mind me asking? Because I'm going to just try to get chronologically a little bit of when you're. This is so interesting.
Well, this was 1978, so I guess I had to be 49. Okay,
wow.
Which is pretty amazing because I believe that around the age of 50 is like a spiritual rebirth for women. So here I was, a year later, because I had a spontaneous healing, and then I was driven. I rode home from Atlantic City with a therapist who did a blitz on me. I mean, she said, "Well, then, what did you do? And what did you do? And how did this happen? And you sure you did? You didn't have any professional help, and you lived through this, and on and on." And suddenly, I realized that I had been denying I was a healer most of my life. And this was a God-given talent, which I was refusing to do, and that was a waste, and to me, wasted potential,
mm-hmm.
especially wasted human potential, is the number one sin. So I then I also realized that I had been healed. I mean, this wonderful professor from Charleston, South Carolina University had just given me a big hug, and I just literally jumped backwards about 10 feet and hit the wall and said, "What was that?" It was like somebody opened up a blast furnace, you know, and he started laughing. He says, "Oh, it's that old energy, you know. How do you do that? You know, what can you do?" And he says, "No, it just comes when it wants to, and it doesn't come when it doesn't want to." But the next morning, I woke up, and for the first time in over 6 months, I took a deep breath, and nothing happened. I mean, just the air came in, and it went out, and I knew that I was healed. So here I was driving back in this car with this therapist who was asking me all these questions, and it hit me that what I had been avoiding had just healed me from cancer. It was payback time, and I committed myself, the rest of my formally committed myself to healing, to a life of healing. So that's how
wow.
it happened. But here I was in London talking to another healer, I mean, a very internationally known healer, and the first thing he did was I went up after the lecture, and he says, "That's where all of that energy was coming from." He says, "This powerful energy was coming from me. I couldn't hardly concentrate on the lesson. Who are you?" And so I told him my name and where I was from, and we started talking about healing, and and the next thing you know, he's telling me about this researcher from Canada, McGill University, by the name of Dr. Owen Schwartz, who had done research, you know, how they fasten the electrodes to your brain and try to figure out what's going on where you're doing healing or doing all of this what they call extra, I can't even think of it. It's just so crazy because it's parent.
The
they think
healing.
It's paranormal, and it's extra extra sensory. But it to me, it's the senses that God gave us, and we have literally civilized ourselves out of it. So they're
wash it down, yeah.
right along with seeing and hearing and everything is these other capabilities that we have that everybody's trying to deny that they have, like I did for most of my life. So here it was, and he was telling me that he had had an argument with him, and because the guy was saying that most of this started out with the extra sensory ability started out with a major electrical shock. So he says, I said to him, I never had that. I've got to be the exception because I was never exposed to anything. And he says, I came home and I was talking to my mother, and she says, "Are you kidding? When you were 2 years old, you stuck a fork into the outlet and it knocked you clear across the room and you were unconscious for 2 hours. What are you talking about? You never had a massive electrical
wow.
shock." You know?
Wow.
So then it clicked, and I said, "Ah, that lightning bolt." I mean, because it shot right down our living room wall.
Wow.
And so it, the way we connect things, and we finally, after all this time, we figure things out, and mm-hmm. and then we begin to understand the deep meaning of something that didn't make any sense at all until we got it. You know, that
makes
that eureka
click.
Moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mhm. So that was how I learned, and it was like from 1944 to 1979, it was 35 years.
Wow.
That I spent thinking that I was just doing perfectly normal things, you know.
That's amazing. So that's wow. So you didn't realize the gift you had, and then right then it all came full circle, huh?
Yeah. Well. It began with yoga, because I think yoga is a fine tuning, with the body mind spirit connection. And
in the Christian world, sometimes they say don't do yoga, and yoga to me seems just like exercises, you know. And I'm wondering, yeah, what's the difference with yoga versus it being exercises or being spiritual?
Actually, when you do yoga and you concentrate on the breath and think only about the breath and what your body is doing, the breath is the life force, and connecting the breath with with every motion that you're doing literally makes a mind body spirit connection.
That's incredible. So you were doing yoga even back, I guess, in the late 70s?
In 1967, I started doing it.
Wow, that's great.
So at the end of one of the classes, about a year into yoga, I said to the instructor, had such terrible lower back pain that I couldn't concentrate on the lesson, and his body literally jerked, and he looked at me and said, "How did you know?" I said, "Well, you look out the window and the sun is shining. How do you know the sun is shining? You just know these things."
Right.
You know?
Wow.
And I said, "You know, if you'd like, I can give you a massage. It might help you." And he said, "No, that's okay." But the next week he was hanging over the banister saying, "Mary, thank God you came." And
wow.
He whispered and said, "That massage, could you give it to me after the class?" And I said, "Sure." So I gave him the massage, and the next week I started looking for another an apartment. And I just stopped. You know, I moved to another place, another area, and I stopped going to yoga. And that was actually August of 68. And then March of 69, I decided I really missed those classes, and called him to find out if they were same time, same place. And he says, "Mary, thank God you called." And I said, "You know, are you so desperate for class, for students?" He said, no. He says, "You know that massage you gave me?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "My back hasn't hurt since." And I said, "That's nice." And he said, "You know, I've been carrying shrapnel in my back since World War II, and there were never 2 days side by side that I didn't have excruciating pain. But," he says, "I'm so glad you called, because I pulled a ligament in my leg, and I want you to fix my leg like you fix my back."
Oh, my goodness.
And I panicked. I couldn't believe this. It was shocking for him to say that, you know. So I did something I never do. I lied. Somebody's at the door, and they've been trying to hang the phone up. It was crazy. And then I sat shaking and looking at my hand, saying, "Who are you? What do you want with my life?" You know.
Wow.
And it took me about 3 weeks to just calm down and settle in and absorb the information and accept it. And I decided, well, since I got this and I can do this to a stranger, why shouldn't I do this for the man I love? And the man who was later to become my husband had a gym accident when he was 14 in Germany and had severed the main ligament in his left leg, and they thought it was a broken leg and put a cast on, and a month later it flopped when they took off the cast, and they had to remove his go into surgery and take the kneecap off and dig for the ligament and fasten it together with silver wire. And so he had never been able to straighten his leg out fully. And he was too proud to limp, so he would kind of get himself into a funny position where he could walk and not look like he was limping. And then he had two major back accidents, so he was he was immobile for sometimes 6 weeks at a time of lying on the floor with back pain. So I set about trying to heal him, trying to do for him what I did with the yoga instructor. It took about 3 months, but when we finished, he could straighten out his leg as if nothing had ever happened, and he never had another back pain.
That's amazing.
But I wasn't ready yet to
bring it to the world.
I wouldn't admit it. So if somebody dropped in front of me, it was kind of behind my hand, I would say, if you'd like, I could give you a massage. It might help, you know. So for 9 years, I was a closet healer.
A closet healer. Marry the closet healer.
It took that cancer scare to push me. And I figured, you know, when God gives you something wonderful and you refuse to use it, he whispers in your ear, you know, and you say, no, I want to be a singer. I've got ideas I want to do. And he taps you on the shoulder. No, look, I've got children. I've got a husband. I'm trying to survive here, you know. And he taps you a little harder, you know, gives you a little push. And if you completely ignore it forever, he just shoves you right off the cliff.
It's true, isn't it?
He
will get
your attention one way or another.
It seems in life that we kind of learn from this. We piggyback on different experiences, too, and then it all makes more sense, doesn't it, when we look back and go, oh, dear God, that's why you had me. That's why I couldn't, you know, and you were avoiding it.
Yeah.
But maybe at the same time, through those different channels in life experiences, it just brought it full circle to where you couldn't avoid it anymore. Wow.
Exactly. And, you know, once I made that formal commitment, I realized that if God is using me as an instrument, I've got to study, I've got to practice, I've got to become better at this so that I will be the best instrument that I can be. And so I was attending the Association for Humanistic Psychology meetings, you know, their conferences every year. Mm-hmm. I had workshops with the top people in the field. I mean, I had Milt Erickson, I had Jean Houston, I had the Menningers, I had workshops with the NLP people and Bandler and Grinder, you know, and so many other top people in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I made friends with my best friend for years was Dr. Elizabeth Mintz, who was one of the founders of SON, and she was considered the queen of the marathons, you know, the psychological marathons, the weekend long thing, 3 days, 24 hours round the clock.
Wow! Yeah,
she did over 500 of those internationally.
Were they like the Warren, like the S programs and marathons?
No. They were more like, you know, the movie Dick and Jane and Ted and Alice, where everybody would be lying on the floor and crying and screaming and reliving things that mm-hmm. they were upset about, and this went on. It was literally a psychological encounter group, and it was
wow.
3 days, 24 hours a day, round the clock, you know? It was incredible. I mean, people had incredible breakthroughs with them, you know, but it was all traditional psychology. And so
right.
we went back and forth, and I actually talked her into going to Sao Paulo with me when I was presenting a talk to the International Congress of Alternative Therapies, because she had written a book called The Psychic Thread, and she had talked to us, as she started out her talk there, she talked to a colleague and said, you know, what would you do if one of your patients had precognitive dreams? He said, I'd medicate her. And she said, well, what would you do if those precognitive dreams started coming true? He said, I'd institutionalize her.
Oh, that's horrible.
She said, that made me very, very angry. So she went with all of her colleagues and any of them who had patients who had ESP experiences, you know, and she wrote this book called The Psychic Thread. Yeah. So,
that's
you know, that's...
Psychic Thread.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. So that's the kind of community I was living in. I mean, it was... Here I was... I had spent 50 years practically trying to force myself into somebody else's version of normal.
Right.
And it was
right.
torture. It was torture. And
that
all of
sense.
A sudden I was free. I was free. I was able to express. I was able to experiment. I was able to study with the geniuses. I mean, Virginia Satir. You know, Buckminster Fuller, that was, you know, I mean, you name it, I've been there, you know, I've studied with the best of them, and
wow.
then suddenly, I've decided that, you know, I had better try to understand more fully what goes on in this extrasensory world, and so I studied with a channeler for a couple of years, and I became an intern because I wasn't working enough to make enough money to pay for lessons. But so here I was, and this young woman came in the middle of a blizzard. And he'd canceled the class, and she was a medical student, and she stood there just on the verge of tears, chattering like crazy, and said, "Oh, this is terrible." And I talked him into letting me give her some tea, and she asked him any questions, and she was so enthusiastic, and. I told her about some of the adventures I had in England and some of the adventures I had in the AHP, you know, and
mm-hmm.
she decided that she was a medical student and her dream was to get a medical degree so that she could practice spiritual medicine because it was... not highly looked upon back in 1980
right. So,
and 79. Mm-hmm.
No, not at
and,
all.
Yeah, she pushed me to the point where I gave up and started teaching a healing class. And when I was teaching the healing class, the second class, she actually went into another lifetime, and I was
really
panicking. I was panicking. Yeah, my left hemisphere is screaming, you know. This woman is flipping out. She is going to wind up in Bellevue, a psych ward, and you're going to wind up in jail because you're responsible. This is your class. How could you let this happen? You know, and but she was there. She was, and she was 28 years old, never been pregnant, and yet suddenly it looked like a basketball was stuck under her dress, and she was in labor.
What's going? Oh, you're kidding! So she was having an experience right in front of everybody. Everyone can see this, huh?
Right in the front of the class.
Oh my!
And I couldn't scream. I couldn't cry. I couldn't let myself go because I was in charge. And how was the rest of the class gonna feel if their instructor was flipping out? So I did the only thing that was possible for me. I screamed for help in my head. And suddenly it was as if this wonderful, warm, wise, incredible being was putting me on like a glove. I could feel it just seeping through my body from my head all the way down. And my hands went out and I started comforting her, and my mouth started opening and saying the most brilliant things. And I'm sort of hanging there in limbo on the sidelines watching, saying, my God, what a brilliant question. I never would have thought of this. You know, how is this happening? This is so wonderful. And feeling so grateful because a total disaster had turned out into something quite wonderful.
Wow.
And when she came back and she started explaining all the things that went on, I'm saying, this was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I mean, how lucky we are.
Amazing.
But the next week it happened again. And the next week two people went into other lifetimes. And I'm saying to myself, what kind of a class is this? Who are these people? I mean, how did they all happen to come into my class, my simple healing class?
Wow. So this is, what time period is this around? I'm just trying to...
1980.
1980s, wow. So this is,
yeah.
So go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm just trying to get a chronological view here.
No, yeah. Of course. So that was how it all began. And at the end of the third class, when these once in a lifetime things kept happening over and over, a psychologist who was a member of the class invited me to coffee after the class, and he said, "Look, I work with the New York Board of Mental Health. I can't do this in public. But I really, really want to do it. Could we arrange a private session?" And I said to him, "Look, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how it's happening. I thought maybe, probably, it's the class energy. And as far as I'm concerned, if we try to do this just the two of us, it's probably nothing's going to happen." So he said, "Well, I'm willing to face failure if you are." So I said, "Okay," and we
wow.
tried it. It worked, the two of us, and that was the first time that I actually was forced to admit that I had something to do with it.
Wow, that's fantastic. So then you can, let me ask you just to jump around, because we have about 25 minutes. This is so interesting. I want to mention, because a lot of our listeners will be listening at a later date. We have many people that, because we can see our stats and they listen, they download. So if anyone's
uh-huh.
listening live and you do want to call in and ask Mary a question, our call-in number is 347-945-5428. For those of you, I know there's people on now, but that want to call in. Later, you can reach Mary, though. It's the books are author of journals. What is it? Journals of a Healer. And give us your
mm-hmm.
contact information, Mary, so if people want to get in contact with
you,
they
sure.
can.
They can reach me at mary@themaryblake.com. That's an email address.
Okay.
And And my phone number is 212-724-4081.
And I know you're right now in the process of having a second edition of your book done too, right? And that's going to be called, you've got the title, Journals of a Healer is your first book, and then the second edition.
Yeah. Well, a literary agent suggested that that there was so much content that I should really split it up into two separate books so that I could explain much more the process and the meaning and the psychology and the spiritual concepts behind all of this, instead of just saying this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. So I'm in the middle of revising it and adding more, and the second edition is going to be called Journals of the Karmic Healer.
I love it, because for Journals of a Healer. So if anybody wants to get the Journals of a Healer right now, can they go to Amazon.com and buy Journals of a Healer?
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
And the subtitle is A Personal Account of Ventures Beyond Time, Space, and So-Called Reality.
Wow.
Because you see that first spontaneous regression. This woman was in the 1600s in colonial America, and she was dying of childbirth. And then another person in class went to a lifetime in as an African slave who was trapped in the jungle and brought into slavery. And
wow.
So I began to realize that we were traveling into other time frames, but somehow everything was going on as if it was just happening. And it wasn't like we were watching a video. It was like we were there, and we were
all
talking to them.
The different dimensions were just like this dimension, huh? Just all in one.
Yeah. And
wow.
And I also began to channel, and I began to have conversations with spirit and
wow.
teach a spiritual development class, because the healing class morphed into a spiritual development class. And I found myself going into a deep trance, and spirits would come through and literally communicate with the class members and answer questions. And
they
would put forth ideas that started out seeming kind of foreign, and then became rather natural. And as you know, when you're exposed to something, you begin to feel like, well, that's normal, you know.
Right, you're just normal, kind of, in the Christian world, sometimes they say the spirits might not be good spirits. That's why we're supposed to be careful about going into that realm, right? And I guess it just depends. With you doing what you're doing, you can tell the difference, whether it's a good spirit or a bad spirit.
Well, that is something that I was very careful with. I don't want to sound too flip about this, but I made a deal with God, and I said, if I am giving myself, dedicating myself as an instrument of divine purpose, and here are the things that I refuse to do, and here are the things I would like to do. And it was agreed. I refuse to do anything that will make a
right.
fool of people, like people do sometimes in hypnosis on the stage and things like that. I refuse to work with negative spirits. I refuse to have them even, the only thing that I learned later was I could help them get out of here. But
wow.
I insisted that I should only work with the wisest, most loving, most caring beings who were capable and willing to work with us here on this plane to help us to achieve the job that we came here to do.
That's it. So you've got so many years of experience doing this. I'm gonna skip over just a couple things just because we only have about 20 minutes left. This is so interesting, and I want people who will get your book and your second book and get in touch, and it's just wonderful the work that you're doing. I noticed I was reading in your bio also that you studied at the seminary, you graduated as an ordained minister, and then also went to the Institute for Pastoral Counseling, and you're certified family counselor. When did you do that? Before this, after this, after this? This is subsequent.
Oh, after that. That was part of sharpening my saw, if you might say it, about equipping me to do the job that I had agreed to do. Because you can be born with a beautiful voice, but you'll never wind up on the stage if you don't practice and study and get better and hone your abilities. And I felt that since this is a calling, it was important for me to become better at to do the best job I possibly could. I studied every chance I could get.
That's fantastic. And then you also trained, you did the multi-life therapy and spiritual development. I see you taught for the last 9 years also.
I did not study that. I basically pioneered it. And because of the spiritual input and those crazy accidental happenings in my class.
No, they're not. I think there are, a lot of these things in life, they say there's no accidents, although God gives us free will, so we can zigzag. And that brings us around, because I want to bring it around to what we were on this show for our listeners, that, for example, you've had a lot of experience. You've lived in the secular world, you're living in the spiritual world, and as human beings, we're spirits, right, walking around. And
absolutely.
I see from your history, you were a partner in the advertising business for papers for over 7 years in Kansas, California, Arizona, California. Again, I say California, non-commercial research and writing. You did office management. You actually got involved with antique and jewelry in the New York World's Fair. I'm just looking at your history was so much secular, and a lot of people go through, we were talking about on the show, what we wanted to talk about too is the periods in life, that you're so well aware of, and you're good at walking people through it to say where people start off one way and maybe end up another way based on their listening to their inner voice, listening to their spirit saying, I don't really want to do this, I want to do this, or I think my calling is this. Why we have some people who are amazing painters and other people would never want to paint. They want to be doctors or do something. Everybody has a blend of, I'm sure, hobbies and whatever. But our actual calling, where we feel it, we're driven. Tell us, for you, it sounds like it was a succession and you couldn't turn it away because things happened. It was almost like you were kind of knocked on the head saying, hey, wait a minute, you did just heal this person, or you just did this and this happened and then it brought back. Mm-hmm. What are some of the ways if somebody's living this, where they're not sure on the secular and the spiritual and they want to try to find out or have a nagging feeling that they're supposed to do something, just can give us the audience some advice on
First of all of the different secular things I did, I considered it on the job training because it helped me, prepared me to work with people in all kinds of phases of life in different occupations and different needs and different values. So that because I've been there and I've kind of done that in so many different ways, I can respect and identify with some of the pressures that they're living with, some of the dreams that they have, some of the goals that they don't even realize they've set aside and are they're longing for. But the most fascinating thing is that when we go into other lifetimes and visit other incarnations, we discover the energies that we bring forth. Just as we bring forth unremembered traumas from our childhood, we also bring unfinished business from other lifetimes.
What if somebody's Christian? I'm Christian. I was raised Catholic, and Catholics are Christians too. But what if somebody's very, very staunch Christian, and it's and in the Bible it says, don't do these things. Now I've had readings before in my life, and I've gone to psychics, and my brother died. I've done the mediums, and you know, and they say don't do that, and I have, and we're not, you know, we have to, but so say somebody's very staunch Christian, and they say no, I can't go into a path. I'm not going to do that because I'm not comfortable with it, but I know,
well,
you know, I'm in this secular work, and I know there's these things happening that I belong into. I belong doing another business or another work or serving people in a different way. Anything like that that they could do just in...
If that's against God, why did Jesus say that John the Baptist... Some people thought that John the Baptist was a reincarnation of Elijah, and other people thought he was something else.
And I've heard that many times,
If it's good enough for Jesus, why isn't it good enough for us?
Well, I've heard that.
If Jesus was able to do miracles, and he said in his own mouth, all this that I do, so can ye do, and even more.
Exactly. Exactly. And I've heard that before with Elijah and John the Baptist, and I guess a lot of it gets disputed. I've heard that. So
mm-hmm.
they have to find their, But if somebody wants to
so many people cherry pick the Bible, and they only quote to you the things that reinforce their own belief systems.
Mm. Yeah. Well, so say,
so
is there
the
other
mind,
ways?
Here's the mind of God. That
right.
is so
no,
huge.
But say there's some other way. Say somebody says, I'm not worried about who I was. I think it is huge. Who you are in another life is going to carry through in lifetimes and be who you are, because your spirit and soul keeps coming back if you believe in reincarnation, right, to learn lessons, et cetera. So
mm-hmm.
say somebody just wants career changes, or their kids are at different stages. You know, we have our stages in life where we're growing up, we're doing what we do, we have children, some people don't have children, people are in different careers, and then they make shift changes. Any advice for people that are doing that, that say they go, well, I'm not going to get a reading, but I want to just start following my heart, you know, listening to my spirit.
Absolutely.
Listening to my heart. What kind of suggestions would you make for that?
I would suggest... to go back and to think about what excited you, what made you so happy, what was there that you couldn't stop doing it, that you wanted to do it day and night when you were young. There is some interesting
like hours
clues
to fly by.
Follow. Yes, yes, and there, and also. There are many things that for example, you something that happened when you were young that you almost completely forgot about it, but every time a similar kind of thing like that happens, you get upset, and you maybe overreact, maybe you do something that is kind of embarrassing for you, but this is something that is still active and still operative in your life, in your subconscious, which is where we live about 90% of the time.
Right.
So
that's amazing.
Yes,
you can do that.
The subconscious is so many times overlooked, but it's like the part of the iceberg that isn't above the water.
Absolutely.
So
like
you don't have to go into other lifetimes if you don't want to. In order to explore your spirit, because your spirit is always with you.
That's amazing. That's good. Great advice. I'm just wanting to ask, because there's people that are going to be staunch and saying, you know. Listening to what, because I mean, I read the Bible too, and I have been told before about John the Baptist and Elijah, and then you go way, way back, and then when you're in a lot of things, it says,
oh, yeah,
don't mess with the spirits. And I start to realize that I think it's because we might not be able to decipher if they're good spirits or bad spirits, so a bad spirit could get in when if we're doing, you know, so I don't know. That's just a question because, you know, the Christianity and is wonderful too, and I just think that, you know, get people that we're creatures of habit, you know, it's a big picture, yeah.
Christianity is important.
It is
a way for many people to reach past the secular, past the so-called ordinary, and in prayer. So prayer is really a form
now
of
that
meditation.
Prayer is huge, isn't it? Prayer is huge, isn't it? Because
It is absolutely enormous.
And we talk to God, and we get answers basically too. Right?
And you don't wonder where those answers are coming from.
No, you're totally right. That's why I'm asking these difficult, hard questions where someone's going to say, "Wait a minute, what are we getting into?" And I'm asking these questions, and you have the answers. You know, you're right. When we don't question. When we pray, is that from God? That was a sign. Okay, that's from God, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the sudden feelings that you get, and the sudden awareness, and there are things that could be classified as paranormal that are going on all the time, but because they feel so normal to us, we couldn't imagine that there's anything different about them, because that's just how it is. And
wow.
You see, the human spirit is enormous, and it is eternal. It's immortal.
Yes. Yeah.
Religion, every religion actually is a way of trying to please God, a way that we think God wants us to behave. And it's you know, as if you are a parent with many children, one child might bring you a bird with a broken wing. Another one might bring you a rock that they put in their mouth and see how shiny it is. Another one of your children might bring in a painting that they did. Another one might bring in a flower that they found. And do you love the child who brought you a flower more than the one who brought you a rock?
Not at all. Right.
You know that this child has in the depth of their being and in their generosity and their love for you, they've given you something that they think is special. Now, why shouldn't our God, who is a greater parent than we can even imagine, why shouldn't this parent be equally accepting of whatever way we try in our best way to please him?
Right, right.
And that's what our religions are.
I do know in the Christian, yeah, you're right. And I know somebody who's a very well-known spiritual healer, and he works with doctors and hospitals, and he goes around the world, and he doesn't profess any one religion just because he deals with people from all walks of life, you know, and his the healing works. It really works. It just, it's amazing.
Absolutely.
You see the
healing is universal. The love is universal. The spirit is universal. The human spirit is so great and so deep and so beautiful that we can never really get to the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then compare when we leave this body that is like dragging around a bag of rocks. Our spirit is free, and think of how it can expand, and how what it is capable of feeling and comprehending and giving when it's unbounded.
Right, right. I agree. That's beautiful what you're saying. It is. It's a very, you know, life is short and it's important to be happy, right, and to live on purpose. We see many loved ones.
And I don't think we can. I don't think we can be very happy if we are not living on purpose, and that's proven by how many rich kids you see that are downright miserable.
You're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right. That's a good point. Absolutely right. Yeah. Wow, this has been very enlightening, and we only have about four and a half minutes left, believe it or not. It flew by. We didn't even take a commercial break.
And oh, my heavens.
Again, this is Natalie Mullinex. We're on Realty Universal Radio, a show not just about real estate. We talk about God, life, love, giving back, and because it's all part of everything, even with, you know, dealing with homes and who we are. Mary Blake is author of Journals of a Healer, and you can buy that on Amazon.com. You can also reach Mary Blake at mary@themaryblake.com, and that's Blake, B-L-A-K-E. This is just really wonderful. I mean, we'd like to go on and have you back, too, sometime if you're available. It's we have a couple minutes left. I want you to just put what you want to tell our audience, and in realizing, because you said when you first got on, you're 85 years young, you are healthy as can be, you're vibrant, you're living your passion, you're healing people, you're helping people, you are not stopping yet. You are still going strong. And I tell you, I really look up to you. I mean, you're a great mentor. I honor what you're doing, and you're just wonderful. So tell our guests, because, you know, there's a lot of people at different ages think, oh, I'm already old, I'm too old, I can't do that, or oh, I've been in this career, it's too late for me to start new, or you know, give us some insight that you would say to somebody to start, because nothing happens overnight, right? We can just change, or we can make a. But give us your insight. You've given throughout this parting insight that you would give to everybody.
Well, there's an old aphorism: it's never too young to have a happy childhood.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's never too late. But the main thing is to be true to yourself. Respect yourself and respect others. I mean, give others the same privileges that you would like to have. Respect people and respect yourself. And it's important to make choices. When you are unhappy, make a change. When you feel that you are not doing anything worthwhile, do something else. Find out what's needed. One of the most brilliant women I ever knew, Jean Dalrymple, who started out as an actress and became a director and a producer, and then wound up almost single-handedly putting together the Civic Center of City Center in New York City, which was the first real comprehensive center of the arts here. And she said she was in her 80s. She was around 87 at the time. And somebody said, "How did you do it?" She said, "I didn't do anything very special. I just did what was right in front of me. And I did it the best way I could possibly do."
We need to love ourselves, too, because it's easy to let other people make us feel less than or make us feel bad, right? It's kind of or tell us you can't
absolutely
do that. That's not good to do. Yeah, yeah.
And it's very important to acknowledge what you have done. I mean, the saying, "Oh, it was nothing. Oh, it was nothing." That's not true. You did the best that you could under that under the circumstances and you achieve something. And if you don't acknowledge what you have done, it's an unfinished job.
Wow, that's gratitude too. That's well, we are parting, and this is Mary Blake our guest. I'm Natalie Mullinex with Realty Universal Radio. This has been wonderful. To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.